Good evening. There we go. First of all, I have to commend you. You listen really well. When Adam asked you to move forward, I thought, there's no way. And then, here you come, moving forward. So, that's amazing. You have my respect for that, for sure. We're very excited to be here, especially given the fact that in Abilene this weekend down in Texas, it was a heat index of 105 all weekend. So if you think it's been hot here, just be glad you're not in Abilene. It's kind of like, I don't know if you remember the old Mario game where there was a level where the sun was your enemy and it was trying to kill you. That's how it feels to be in Texas during the summer, as though the sun is out to get you. As Bill has mentioned, we are going to be thinking about the beauty of God tonight. I don't know about you, but there are certain things that come to my mind when I think of the word beauty. So what would yours be? If you were to think about the word beauty, what are the first things that come into your mind? For some of you, you think about the word beauty, and maybe you think about a person in your life. Maybe someone that's sitting next to you. Maybe you think about a group of people, your family, your extended family, or a close group of friends. For some of you, you may think about a particular moment in your life. Maybe when you were baptized, and that was a beautiful moment. Or maybe it was when you got married, and that moment was very beautiful for you. Maybe you hear the word beauty, and you think about a representative of a favorite hobby. I drive around town, and I notice there are a lot of interesting cars in Springfield, and crazy people on Glenstone camping out all up and down the street waiting to see these cars come by. And I thought Bill and I should get in our minivans and roll up and down the street and join the procession. But I don't know that that would be the idea of beauty. Or maybe your idea of beauty is a hard-earned, glorious chicken dinner. Whatever it may be, you may have a certain idea of beauty when you think about that concept. But how many of you think about God? Beauty is not necessarily something we think about in terms of God. I want to read to you something I read by R.C. Sproul that I thought touched on this subject very well. He writes this, "I'm afraid that the idea of the beauty of God has all but been eclipsed in our contemporary culture, both in the secular community and in the church as well. I've said many times that there are three dimensions to the Christian life that scriptures are concerned about: the good, the true, and the beautiful. Yet, we tend to cut off the third from the other two. Some Christians reduce their concern for the things of God purely to the ethical realm, a discussion of righteousness or of goodness with respect to behavior. Others are so concerned about the purity of doctrine that they're preoccupied with truth at the expense of behavior or the expense of the holy. Rarely, at least in many circles, do we find a focus on the beautiful. This reflects a striking imbalance given that the Bible is concerned with goodness, truth, and beauty. God, Scripture tells us, is the ground or foundation of all goodness. All goodness finds its definition in His character. In the final analysis, God's character is the measure of goodness. And at the same time, the Scriptures speak about God as the author, source, and foundation of all truth. But in the same way, and in the same dimension, the Scriptures speak about the beauty of God. His Word tells us that all things beautiful find their source and foundation in the character of God Himself. So, God is ultimately the norm of the good, the true, and the beautiful. Beauty, as defined by our dictionaries, is the quality or qualities in a person or thing or idea that gives pleasure to the senses and exalts the mind and spirit. This morning, Bill discussed with us seven ideas presented in John about Christ and what being the Christ means. And I don't know about you, but these are ideas that certainly qualify as being beautiful. Ideas that exalt our minds and spirits as we truly comprehend what Jesus has done for us and who He is and what He offers us. Through Christ, God offers us a truly beautiful life. Now, it would be a shame to consider something like we did this morning and to leave dry, or to leave at least feeling the same way as we entered. So many times I think we do this, though. We hear something and we're like the folks and we just say, oh, that was really good, that was great. But it doesn't do much to us. Being in the presence of God, being in the presence of one another ought to do something to us. To understand who God is, to understand what God has done for us should and must leave us changed. Changed on the inside. And so what I want us to think and consider tonight is that what we know about God should be reflected in how we feel about God. Not only how we feel about God, but just how we feel in general. I think a lot of times things in the world have the power to affect us negatively in how we feel. Something doesn't go our way and it makes us feel bad, or our spirits become low or down. And I think when we do that, we are elevating things in our lives or events in our lives to where God ought to be, because nothing should have the power to bring us low in that way when we have God on our side. So I think while we know these things, we don't feel these things. I'm not a big feelings person. I don't tear up when I watch commercials or movies or things like that. When I watch someone throwing away a good hamburger, then maybe I might tear up a little bit. I'm not a big feelings person, but I think it's too important for us to pass up this idea of the way we feel about God. So what I want us to do tonight is think about why we fell in love with God to begin with. The feeling we had when we got it for the first time, when we understood for the first time. I want us to know not only in here, but I want us to feel in here the joy of understanding God and His beauty. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it says, to give to the Lord the glory due His name, bring an offering and come before Him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This passage conjoins the holiness and glory of God with the respect to the idea of beauty. We are called to come into the presence of God and to worship what is beautiful about Him. In Psalm 27:4, the psalmist's greatest desire is to dwell in the house of God and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. So I want to invite you to take just a second. I want you to think about how you would answer this statement. I see the beauty of God in what? Take a moment and share with the people around you how you would answer that statement. I see the beauty of God in blank. Take just a second and share with the people around you. Where do you see the beauty of God? I don't hear enough mumbling. Everybody, share where you see the beauty of God. My assumption is that if I were to ask you to report on what you shared with the people around you, or if you decided to keep it to yourself, if I asked you to share where you saw the beauty of God, my guess is that it would fall into one of two categories. How many of you said in some way or another that you see the beauty of God in nature, in creation? So roughly more than half of you, maybe more than half of you, say that you see the beauty of God in nature. And I think there is a reason for that. The very first thing that we find out about God in Genesis is in the beginning, God created. God is an artist. He is the maker and definer of all things that are wondrous and beautiful. So it is no wonder that we are able to see God in nature that He has created for us. I want you to listen to what Paul says to the Romans in chapter 1, verse 20. What can be known about God is plain. His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature are clearly perceived since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. There is a reason that at least half, or maybe more than half of you, say that you see the beauty of God in nature. Paul says that God is revealing Himself to us in nature. As you read and journey through the Psalms, you see so many Psalms that talk about the glory of God and Him revealing Himself to us in creation. When there have been times in my life and the life of my family where there has been a big decision that we have needed to make, we often find ourselves desiring to be outside, to find a clearer way to think. And it is when I am in nature that I feel the closest to God, that I feel that I can breathe and see God just a little bit easier. The psalmist declares in 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." God's creativity is absolutely stunning. It's amazing to travel just from Texas to here and to see the difference in the geography. Here you have something called trees. You have trees here, and they are beautiful and stunning things that are all but extinct in the part of Texas that I live in. But it's amazing to travel just 9 hours and to see how different God's creation actually is. You've probably all read or heard or sat through a sermon where someone was talking about the intricacy with which our universe and creation has been stitched together. How if the earth was just a little tiny bit closer to the sun, we would all burn up. Or if how it was just a tiny bit further away from the sun, we'd all freeze. Or how if it was just a little bit smaller, we'd all be wearing black knee-length socks and flip-flops. I don't know about that last one, but it's possible. We don't know unless it happens, right? But the earth, creation, the universe is so complex that it's mind-boggling. But when was the last time you slowed down, you walked outside, and noticed how it made you feel? When was the last time you went outside at night and just marveled at the stars and felt humbled by how beautiful the sky truly is and became inspired and humbled at your place in God's creation? Our lives are so full of earthbound business, we keep our heads down and our feet moving, that we rarely stop to just appreciate the nature, the creation that God has blessed us with. Psalm 50, verse 2 says, "Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth." I want you to do me a favor for just a second. I'll invite you to close your eyes for just a moment. Close your eyes. Even those of you who don't really want to, just close your eyes. And I want you to try to recall the last time you experienced God's creation in such a way that it just really knocked you back on your heels. And you just had to stop. And you were impressed with the majesty and the power of God in the creation that you were surrounded by. For some of you, it could be the beach. The first time you saw the ocean with your feet in the sand, staring out at a wide expanse of never-ending water as it constantly crashed against the shore. Smell of salt in the air and the noise of the birds in the air. Maybe for some, it's the first time you saw snow-capped mountains with these huge trees stretching to the sky. Smelled the earth, felt the cold air. For some, it could be an early morning on a boat, on a lake, when the water is so still it presents a perfect mirror image of the world above. Whatever it might be, I want you to think about that moment where God was revealing Himself to you and the beauty that you were surrounded by. I want you to hold on to how that made you feel. Sitting in His creation, knowing that He made this for this moment, for you, so that you would feel connected to Him. As you breathe in, I want you to breathe in the presence of God and the revelation that as small as we are, God has made all of this just for us. Breathe out your worries and your stress. And know that if we allow it to, God's creation can humble us. It can inspire us, can stir up our soul, reach down and tug at our hearts, because it reminds us that the God who made all of this in its beauty and complexity made it for you. He made it for me to enjoy, to point us, and to connect us to Him. I want you to keep this image in your mind, keep that feeling in your mind as we pause for just a moment and we sing a few songs that reflect on the beauty of God in creation.
Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Sing aloud to God, let the people shout before His throne. Hallelujah, sing aloud to God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise His name. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise His name. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord.
Amen. Let's be standing. I meant to tell you to stand before that one, but I forgot.
Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see. When my Lord is living in me, I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes His home in my heart, and nevermore will I be all alone, since He promised me that we never should part. Green grass and flowers all blooming in springtime are works of the Master. I live for each day. I know that Jesus is well and alive today, for He makes His home in my heart, and nevermore will I be all alone, since He promised me that we never would part. Tall mountains, green valleys, the beauty that surrounds me, oh, make me aware of the One who made it whole. I know that Jesus is well and alive today, for He makes His home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since He promised me that we never would part.
Amen.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in thoughts of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand a wonder's wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning bright, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere.
So as amazing as God's creation is, there is something even greater that shows us the true beauty of God. Earlier, how many of you would say you see the beauty of God in some form or fashion in the people in your life? Yeah, the other half of us. We see the beauty of God in our spouses, in our children, in the people that we love. All throughout creation, God made, he created, he brought to life, and he called it good. But it wasn't until he finished and made man that he said it was very good. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We've known that verse since we were kids. We've been able to quote that verse since we were children. But have you ever stopped to really think about the impact or the import of what that means? We, male and female, are made in the image of God. Let that sink in. You are made in the image of God. I am made in the image of God. Take a look at the person on your right. They are made in the image of God. And believe it or not, the person on your left are also made in the image of God. I find that absolutely amazing. I'm a people watcher. When I'm in large crowds at the airport, or if I'm unlucky enough to find myself at the mall, I like to watch the people around me. Does anybody else like to people watch? In all of your people watching, have you ever seen someone that was exactly someone else that you've known? Maybe they looked a little bit alike, had some of the similar features, but it's amazing to think that in all the people in all the world, there are no two who are exactly the same. By and large, we are all incredibly unique. Yet somehow, we are all made in the image of God. I think the reason for this is that it takes all of us in community to come close to capturing the true picture of God. It takes us coming together in community to capture the image of God and what He is really like. And that makes sense, doesn't it, given who God is? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, existing in eternal, loving relationship together. So it makes sense that to truly capture the beauty, the true beauty of God, it would take us coming together in loving relationship, in loving community with one another. And there are passages all throughout the Bible that point to this fact. From the simple, where Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, there I am as well. Or that they will know you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. To the more complicated ideas that Paul presents to us in 2 Corinthians, where he says that we are to live our lives for Christ, and he calls us ambassadors of God, representing heaven, representing God to the world that we live in, and he says that God is making his appeal, not through me, not through you, but through us. There is something about our community. There is something about our being together that creates a better picture of who God is, of the true beauty of God. Perhaps one of the most encouraging things for me is to look throughout Paul's letters and to realize that they are full of warnings, encouragements, and instructions on how to live in unity with one another for the sake of the gospel. There is something about how our community comes together and how we are to treat one another and live together that puts the gospel at stake. I've often said that it is not our arguments that win people over, but it is our lives lived in loving harmony with each other that convinces people the best of who God truly is. Because it does not matter what we say, if we cannot treat each other with love and respect, we undercut the message of the gospel. How can someone believe in a loving and forgiving and merciful God if we cannot be loving and merciful and forgiving of one another? What does it matter how much we talk about how great God is if we cannot show people how great God is? We are God's agents together as a community in this world representing who He is. Perhaps the best, or at least my favorite way of putting this, is John's in 1 John chapter 4. Those of you who are in Bill's Sunday morning class will be familiar with 1 John. I got nervous as I sat in his class and listened to him, and he came right up to the edge of where I wanted to start tonight, but it ended up working out perfectly. The community in 1 John is very concerned about their place in the kingdom of God. They're very concerned about things that they are hearing in their community from former church members about what they are saying, and they're needing some encouragement. They're needing something to hang on to be assured of. And this is what he tells them near the end of his letter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. How can we claim to know God if we are not a loving people? Because God is love. Not that love is a defining characteristic of God, but it is God who defines what we mean by love. Existing in eternal community. Right? How can we claim to know God if we do not have love in our hearts? In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved, but that God has loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, then God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. And it is by this that we know we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Probably one of my favorite passages is verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, then God abides in us. In order to see the true beauty of God and what God is really like, we must abide in Him through love. We must love one another, and in doing so, God will be in us, and that is how people will see God. That is the true beauty of God. That is what I want us to think about and hold on to. We know these things about God, that is, that experiencing God in community with one another is where we feel God. When we were young and newly married, living in Virginia, doing youth ministry there, we didn't have much. And by much, I mean anything at all, really. Living on a youth minister's salary, Carrie was in grad school, living in an expensive part of the country. Most of the time, we tried to figure out how we were going to make it, you know, just on a day-to-day or a week-to-week. It was, do we pay this bill or do we eat? And you know the answer to that question. Sometimes it was, which bill do we pay? Which ones are we going to be penalized for the most if we don't pay on time? It was a difficult life, and gas was incredibly expensive, and everything in Virginia was incredibly spread out there in Richmond. And by expensive gas, I mean it was like, you know, summa cum laude gas, right? Not academic probation gas, which is what I needed, like a dollar something, right? And I remember one day the church secretary called, who we were really close to, and she asked if Carrie and I could meet her halfway between her house and ours. Halfway was 45 minutes, one direction. That's how spread out we were. And we agonized over that. Our car was close to out of gas. Are we going to be able to make it there and back? How are we going to fill up our car and get through the rest of the week? But ultimately we decided that she would not have asked if it wasn't important. So we got in our car, put our walking shoes on in case we ran out of gas, and we drove to meet her. And when we got there, she pulled up into the parking lot of this open kind of lot, and her car was full of bags of groceries and coolers full of meat and other goodies that he even thought to get us a stack of gas cards. And she said, "I just realized that you've been bringing nothing but peanut butter and crackers to work every day for lunch. And a couple of us got together and realized how difficult it might be for you. And so we wanted to bless you guys because we remember what it was like." And I'm not a feelings guy, but Carrie and I both just broke down into tears. And I felt the beauty of God in these people who sacrificed, who gave up of their own means to help two young, stupid, married kids to help us out. That is what I mean by being able to see and to feel the true beauty of God in Christian community. When we come together, when we put aside differences, when we love one another, we show the world what we're about. We show the world who God really is. The next time that you have been brought low to your knees, wondering where God is, the next time that you need a reminder of why all of this is worth it, the next time you need to be reminded in here of who God is and the joy that we can have through Him, go for a walk. Look up. And then surround yourself with God's children. And may the God of all glory and beauty fill your heart with understanding, with peace, and with joy.